Welcome to the Sexual Mindfulness Project podcast, where we talk about creating an intentional relationship and how to find joy in slowing down, letting go of judgment, and connecting more deeply with your partner. I'm Dr. Shalom Levitt, and today I'm here with Amber Price, Rebecca Clark, and Jenna Lawler. All right, so today we're going to talk about conflict in relationships. And really, I just want to set a little foundation for conflict in relationships, because it's interesting, when I have taught seminars all over the world, I'll always have the one or two couples who come up afterward and say, you know what, we really don't have any conflict in our relationship. And I think to myself, well, one of two things is happening. Either you guys aren't really digging down and getting authentic with each other, or you're just fooling yourself. And you really do, but you just don't want to admit it. And it's interesting because I know in our culture, we often think of conflict as a bad thing, right? That there's something wrong, there's something broken in our relationship if we have conflict. And I think that's true if we talk about contention, right? If we let conflict devolve into this arguing and taking, you know, intractable positions where we just insist that we are right and cannot see the other person's perspective. But when we're just talking about conflict, like the difference of perspective that any two people are going to have, that's actually a really healthy part of a relationship.
This is reminding me of just within the last few weeks, I was standing in the kitchen with my husband and my 15-year-old was there, and my husband and I were talking about something. I think it was probably related to the current COVID situation and kind of the pressure of making choices of what we are and what we aren't going to do. And so it was like a kind of an intense discussion as we were trying to figure something out and make a decision. And it really wasn't contentious at all. And my 15-year-old was like, stop fighting, and kind of stormed off and was frustrated with us. And so I had to go up to him later and say, hey, bud, I just want you to know that, first of all, we weren't having a fight in that situation, but we were having a serious discussion and kind of discussing viewpoints and things, and that that is a normal and good part of a relationship. So I don't want you to go through life thinking that you're not going to have these important conversations, because you are. And that's just a normal part of any relationship.
That brings to my mind some research that I read a long time ago. In fact, it was earlier in my marriage, and so I've thought about it a lot of times since. Just that point about disagreeing and even doing it on purpose in front of kids, and so that kids can see that that is part of a relationship, and that kids can also see that. I remember the point of the research was that having kids watch conflict, I mean, there's a level of conflict that you don't want to go above, certainly in any relationship where it's not safe or people are getting hurt emotionally or otherwise. But barring that having kids, as long as they see you resolve it, or that they know that you have resolved it, so they don't have to actually hear the entire conversation, but if they can see you afterward giving each other a hug by the kitchen sink or whatever, or moving on, you know, in a positive way, that having kids understand that marriages and close relationships have conflict and that's okay is a healthy thing.
Yeah, I really like that. It's important that we model the whole process for them. Yes, we have disagreements, but yes, we also value our relationship enough that we talk it through and come to some sort of resolution. That doesn't even necessarily mean we agree with each other, right? I think it's interesting to note that John Gottman's work indicates that there's about 70% of conflict that is just unresolvable, right? We just have different perspectives. I am a Republican. He's a Democrat. I like pie. He likes cake. You know, whatever it is, these are things that sometimes they are really strongly held beliefs, and sometimes they're kind of unimportant things. And we need to recognize that we may not be able to resolve it, but we can treat each other respectfully and maybe even learn from each other. This is a good place where we can deepen our understanding about each other.
And I guess kind of going back to one thing you said earlier on is if they're not having conflict, that's not necessarily a healthy thing. I think if you've got a couple that's never having conflict, what does that say? That likely means one person is stifling their opinion consistently and being dominated by another. And that's not the relationship you probably wanted to enter into. more likely you're probably deceiving yourself, like you said. But if somebody's consistently just saying, oh yeah, you must be right, that's not healthy for either. And it doesn't provide a lot of opportunity for personal growth for either of you.
Yeah, that's a good point, Amber. And it actually reminds me of some research again by John Gottman, who he looked at the level of complaining in a relationship and how that impacted outcomes like relational and other indicators of a quality relationship. And what he found was that if women did not complain to a certain level, that they actually had more depression in their relationship. And I think it gets to the point that you were just talking about. They're stifling their feelings and they're feeling unheard, but it's largely of their making, because maybe they're so afraid of conflict that they refuse to talk about things or just capitulate to whatever their partner's opinions are. And we know that that is unhealthy.
Amber, I love what you are saying about the personal growth aspect of it, because conflict and at least differences of opinions help you to see or express your individuality within a relationship. You know, the goal of marriage isn't just to conform into one complete mindset and that you think the same thing all the time and that you always have the same opinions. But it's when you differ on some things that you're able to get to know your partner in a depth that you couldn't without differing opinions. You get to know who they are and the opinions that they have. And when you're open to talking about them and maybe even disagreeing on them, I feel like you're able to reach a level of growth in your relationship that you wouldn't if, like Shalom said, if you disagree with everything your partner says.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jenna. In fact, I like to emphasize over and over to people that conflict is actually an opportunity for intimacy. Here's where we can really get to know each other. We realize we've hurt our partner's feelings. That requires that we kind of dig down and understand what was behind that. I thought I was saying something kind of benign, that it wouldn't, you know, have this impact. And yet clearly I've hurt my partner's feelings. And so you dig down and you understand what's behind these differences or this perspective that each other holds. And what can we learn from that? How can we really grow together because of this conflict? Hopefully that's what conflict is doing. So if someone is saying, yeah, we never have conflict in our relationship, really what you're saying is we don't really ever have any growth. And that's really concerning.
Yeah, I think you're right, Shalom, for sure. That I think conflict can be an indicator of commitment to a relationship, of wanting, of a willingness to work through something. Like Amber was saying, if you're not willing to really put it out there and grow together in it, I think that's sad. I think that's a miss. And I think we have I keep thinking of the term responsibility in this, in conflict. And I think we have a responsibility in a lot of ways when conflict begins. We have a responsibility to ourselves to present kind of our thoughts and our feelings that might be different from our partner's thoughts and feelings. And we have a responsibility to say that in ways that are not hurtful, but maybe invitational or informative. We have a responsibility to the marriage to try to aim conflict to bringing us closer together. But I think we do have that responsibility to bring stuff up when it's bothering us. I think we have that responsibility not to just let it go, because I think that's an indicator of a commitment to the marriage and to each other.
Yeah, and I think that's supported by especially a therapist, Dr. David Schnarch, who really insists that to have a healthy, mature relationship, you have to not only confront yourself about your own problems in life, you have to confront your partner occasionally and hold them accountable for things that, you know, maybe they're not carrying their weight in the relationship. This is where it takes a lot of finesse and kindness. We have to be gentle teachers. And, you know, I can speak from my own experience. I was not raised to be a gentle teacher. And so that's a skill that I've really had to develop and learn from trial and error and seeing the impact of what I said on someone's face and then pulling back and saying, oh, you know what I really meant to say, or this is what my message is. And so trying to kind of circle back around once we see the impact we've had and correct, you know, and repair what we may have done, but still not shying away from addressing issues in your relationship.
I find so much value in what you're saying about the kindness piece in all of this. So my dad is an English professor and he can quote poetry and all of this beautiful stuff at any occasion. And at my wedding breakfast, he quoted a poem by William Butler Yeats that has the line, "Tread softly" in it, because you tread on my dreams. And I thought, as he was quoting that, I thought, he is saying that to me because I am not a soft treader. And he knows that. And he knows my husband is. And so I actually had that engraved on the inside of my wedding band because I thought that is an important element of conflict. I think conflict is necessary. I do. I don't think we should avoid saying the hard things, but I think we should say them as kindly as we can and maybe as non-emotionally as we can. I think we could get into a discussion here that might be fun about, should you go to bed mad? You know, I have found in my own experience that the less emotionally charged I am about something. I mean, certainly I at some point I'm emotionally charged about it because it's conflict. But when I have the discussion with my spouse, with my husband, the less emotional I am, usually the better things turn out.
That tread softly made me think, kind of flipping this over on its head. I think sometimes it can be really important to take a look at yourself and your own place in the conflict. And we've kind of touched on that, but also from a therapist, Dr. Jennifer Finlayson Fife, I've heard her talk a lot about kind of asking yourself, like, what am I doing that's contributing to this conflict? Or what would be hard about being married to me? Which isn't always a fun question to think about. But I think with like what Rebecca said, how much more easily can we tread softly when we take the time to look at ourselves and recognize that we're flawed and that we might be hard to live with? So of course, there's going to be some, I want somebody to tread softly with me also. I think it kind of goes to the scriptures in the Bible and whatever that talk about the moat and the beam. Recognize that I have my own flaws. I have beams that I need to worry about sometimes. And like you said, I mean, there's still things that need to come up in a relationship, but maybe addressing yourself in the process also is important.
Yeah, those are both really good thoughts. I love the idea of treading softly. Maybe we need to write a blog about that, Rebecca, treading softly. That's a really nice thought. So let's also talk, let's tie this into how conflict might impact sex. Because we know from research that people who have a lot of conflict in their relationship, depending on how they handle it, right, it's going to impact their sexual relationship. In fact, I really like the notion that sex is often a barometer of the larger relationship. So if you're noticing that you're less inclined to have sex with your partner because your feelings are hurt or you feel a little distant and that doesn't seem to be resolved on a day-to-day basis. So if we're allowing conflict to kind of linger and even become contention, that is necessarily going to impact how we engage in sex with each other. And so I often like to just remind people that if you're not having sex as frequently as you would like, or it's not the right kind of quality of interaction, you might need to look to the larger relationship to see what's going on. Are you feeling valued on a day-to-day basis so that you would want to have sex with this person? And is your partner feeling validated and seen and understood so that they too want to have sex? These are questions we can ask, and you know, it's going to be different in every relationship, but we know there's a connection between the level of conflict and the couple's sexual satisfaction.
I think it's also important to ask, is sex an appropriate way to resolve conflict? I've heard that some couples use sex as a way to resolve conflict. And when they're fighting, you know, fighting might lead into sex. And is that a healthy way of addressing conflict? And how does that impact the sexual relationship then?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Jenna. I think that some people do use sex to resolve conflict. And I'm not saying it's not bad to have sex after a fight. That can be a really nice way to reconnect and feel good about each other. However, if that's your typical pattern, that you're resolving every conflict with sex, what you're really doing is trying to avoid emotionally digging down and really understanding how this interaction seems to have some really negative patterns. So sometimes we may have conflict over the fact that one of us is a high desire partner and one of us is a low desire partner. And again, this is really an opportunity for us to understand each other better. What does sex mean to us? And possibly if we have different meanings in sex, then that might be part of why we have different needs in sex. For some people, sex might be a relief, right? A release of tension or just a fun way to reconnect. But for others, it may be something far more serious and requires, you know, deep emotional connection beforehand. And then they feel good about the physical connection. So yeah, talking about the meanings of sex and then what our preferences are as far as frequency goes. We know in every element of our relationship, there's going to be a high desire partner and a low desire partner. Sexual frequency is one that often causes conflict because someone wants sex twice as much as the other person. And so it feels like they're being rejected, right? They initiate and then they're rejected half the time. And so that can cause some issues. But we need to also remember there's a high desire and a low desire partner in every element of our relationship. For example, who likes cuddling more than the other person? Or who likes a clean house more than the other person? And so really, the point here is to learn how to address these differences that we have in a healthy way that helps us to understand each other better and not put a wedge between us.
And I think it goes, I think conflict surrounding sex is resolved in generally the same way that other conflicts are, which is bringing it up. If it's something that's bothering you, bring it up and talk it through. And non-emotional as you can maybe make it and as kind as you can make it. But I think there's a responsibility that we have to bring these kind of issues up with our spouse and not just sit and think, you know, I'm suffering in silence, or why can't he or she read my mind? I think sometimes we expect our spouse to take responsibility for our own pain. And I think we've got to step up to the plate and say, this is something I don't enjoy or don't like, or I wish were different, because it serves the marriage better ultimately if we take responsibility for our stuff.
Yeah, I would also add that when talking about conflict with sex, really with any conflict, with anything that there may be differences within the relationship, not make it about me against you, to not place blame on your partner for having different desires, for having a different meaning for sex. Coming together and focusing on, you know, how can we address this problem? How can we resolve this? Instead of saying, you're not doing this the way that I want it done. You're not meeting my needs. But like Rebecca and Shalom are saying, talk with kindness. And part of that is not viewing your partner as an enemy, or not viewing them as the problem, but viewing your partner as a person who's in it with you, who is helping you address these things, and you want to be close to them, and you want to resolve these things. And so they're your go-to, they're your partner, and to join with them and address the problem together.
I'm kind of thinking a little bit, kind of building off of both what Jenna and Rebecca have been saying, but this is maybe kind of taking it to a bigger picture thing. But I wonder a little bit about not making your partner responsible for your own sexuality also. Like, my sexuality is mine, his is his. Makes it so that it's not as much of a push and pull with each other. It's, I'm choosing to share this with you, not you're taking this from me, or I feel like I have to do this. But no, this is mine and I'm choosing to share it with you. And I think that can kind of help lessen some conflict. I think that might be kind of a hard mindset to transition into if that's not where you're coming from, and it might take some work to get there, but I think that can be helpful.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at, Amber, is really important, that we understand that sex is a collaboration and we're both bringing something really valuable to it. And when we think that it's about me or it's about my partner, that's when things start to get a little concerning. Certainly, we take responsibility for our own behavior and our emotions, but we certainly need to talk about our feelings about sex and how we interact with each other during sex. There can be the slightest thing can bring up, can kind of trigger some emotions in us, maybe from childhood or from a previous, you know, romantic partner. And we can see that we had a little vulnerability about something. Maybe we felt unseen in our sexual encounter. And so that's something that we can gently, you know, talk about, gently with ourselves and gently with our partner. We need to say, I don't even understand why that brought up so much emotion for me when it seemed like you kind of moved on with your arousal before I was at the same level and I felt left behind, right? It could be something as simple as that. Nobody intended any offense. And when we're still taking responsibility for our own sexual experience, but it is something that we certainly need to talk about. This is where mindfulness can be really helpful for people. As we slow down our arousal and become more acutely aware of how our body is responding to our partner's touch and the interactions that go on during sex, how is it that we're connected with our body? Are we really in tune with our emotions? Because truthfully, that's what makes sex optimal. That's the really great experiences that we know from research help people feel high sexual satisfaction is when they can share a part of themselves that's very vulnerable, but it's a safe place so that it's allowed to be seen. And that's a really beautiful connection that couples who are skilled and who are in tune with their own emotions and they're sensitive to their partner, those kind of couples can achieve that kind of deep connection. So conflict really is an opportunity for greater connection, deeper intimacy. And when we take the time to mend our relationships, take the time to mend what's broken, we might find that there's real beauty in our relationship that we hadn't seen before. Something that's even more lovely than what could have happened if everything went perfect in our relationship. We understand each other on a deeper level. We understand the kindness and generosity that each of us is capable for. And so when we mend broken things, we actually may end up with an even more beautiful relationship. That's it for this week. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Sexual Mindfulness Project and subscribe to our website, shalomlevitt.com, to stay up to date with the latest information on sexual mindfulness. Thanks for listening.